Here we go. Hello, friends. We are now live. It's Friday, so you know what day it is, what time it is. It is happy hour on the East Coast, which means it's time for Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. We are so happy to be here, especially since it's LGBTQ History Month. And we have an amazing guest here. Andrew Channon is the co-founder and CEO of Procedure Holdings. And he will be talking about his exchange-traded fund and the LGBTQ community. So Rita, take it away, but tell us a little bit about what this month means.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in with us to celebrate LGBTQ History Month. LGBTQ History Month is very special. It is an annual month-long observance of the contributions of lesbian, bi, gay, transgender, members of our community and the civil rights movement. So we can think of no better way to kick this off than with our special guest, Andrew. Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
So our topic today, of course, is the power of the LGBTQ community and this amazing, I'm allowed to say amazing because it's my show and we don't have to worry about compliance, but this amazing ETF, exchange-traded fund. So if you don't mind, before we get into the exchange-traded fund, you know, can you share a little bit of story about how you launched this? And then you can talk about the fund and the strategy.
Happily. So actually, several years ago, we were approached by an individual, Bobby Blair, and the company Maxim Group. And they had approached my partner and I, knowing that we are in the business of creating and launching exchange-traded products. And Bobby Blair is a champion of the LGBTQ plus community. He's a former professional tennis player and someone that wanted to make a difference for the community. And by coming out, he has done so. And he wants to do many different things to help make those decisions and life afterwards for individuals that come out, you know, much easier, so they don't have to go through a lot of the struggles that he had to live with. And one of the goals that he had when he came to us was creating a financial product that individuals from the LGBTQ plus community, their allies, and others that wanted to support this community and show, you know, with their own investment dollars that this community matters to them. He wanted to create a product for them and hopefully something that would attract the interest of those just beyond the community. And after spending a significant amount of time working with them, we developed a strategy that we felt was something that was not just representative, but also inclusive of the community and their viewpoints. And, you know, one of the things that was, you know, kind of on our minds was that, you know, there had been attempts to create financial products before designed for the LGBTQ plus community, but we felt that they fell short in several ways, but most notably, the way that they had calculated the companies that went in were essentially heavily reliant upon the various HR, you know, from the companies themselves, how their own HR departments would report various things. And to us, that didn't seem like it went far enough. And so after, you know, working on a whole bunch of different ideas, we came out with an approach that we thought was one that would be embraced by the community and one that would help, you know, represent those companies that were doing better for the community as judged by the community itself. And that's what we were able to do when putting together the ETF LGBT.
I know, I love the ticker. And then what really resonated with me is the process, just how inclusive it is. You're really reducing the risk of greenwashing because this is very sincere and inclusive. So share with us, you know, how you go about doing that.
So it's great that you use the term greenwashing. It's one that, you know, is seemingly becoming more prevalent around the investing world and even just, you know, how companies describe themselves. And for the LGBTQ plus community, this is something that we see where companies might not necessarily have the best intentions when trying to show that they're supportive of the community. And in many cases, it's just slapping their company's logo on a rainbow flag and having a float at a parade. And sometimes it just ends there. And it's takes more than just saying that we're good and supportive of the community. It's actually by the various actions that these companies take. And so relying just on what a company's HR department reports might not give you the full picture. And for many individuals, they can see what is authentic and what is not, what resonates with them and what doesn't. And for this community, that's something that's extremely important. And we were hoping that by designing, you know, a fund to track this type of index that took that extra step and consideration into the methodology process would be one that hopefully the community could be proud of and support. So the way that the index works is it starts off with a screen of roughly the S&P 500, and it does an ESG screen looking at several different types of databases, and it removes the lowest scoring ESG companies. Then from the remaining companies, a survey goes out to over 150,000 LGBTQ plus households from across the country, different regions, ages, socioeconomic backgrounds, and it gives them a sample of those remaining companies, and it asks them questions about their preference and loyalty towards those companies, which ones they think are actually doing best and are most aligned with their community. And we'll probably get to it a little bit later, but that, I believe, is truly the special sauce for this index and why this index is so different and important to us. Then with those remaining companies, the top 100, based on these surveys, are found and weighted based on various fundamental criteria. And there you have the LGBTQ plus ESG 100.
Awesome. Awesome. No, I absolutely love it. And we spoke about this when you and I connected, and even we mentioned it right before the show, that it is so important that people recognize the power of the LGBTQ plus community. So can you talk a little bit about the buying power and the loyalty and why this is so important?
So the LGBTQ plus community historically has been one of the most loyal demographics for spending and purchasing and supporting companies that they believe are aligned with their community. And most people don't realize, but this community represents roughly $1 trillion in the US alone. So the thinking is, by actually going to the community and figuring out which companies resonate with them, as opposed to companies telling us how great they are for this community, but actually going that step and finding out from the community themselves that we help build this product for, that by being able to get their input as far as which companies they believe are aligned and supportive with their community, we're hoping that we can find those companies that hopefully a larger part of their $1 trillion of worth and savings are going towards. So that was, you know, for us, when we had looked at the various research behind the, you know, these loyalty statistics, it became something that was very important. And then, you know, beyond that, as far as just, you know, investing in these companies that resonate with the community as being supportive and aligned, you know, it's not just necessarily, you know, that maybe, you know, because their company does this, that they'll have the best price performance. But what we're noticing is that hiring and actually attracting talent and being able to have a happy workforce and being able to attract the best talent, regardless of who they are, where they're from, and, you know, and how they live their lives, by being able to treat people equally, that you can hopefully create this healthy, happy workplace and attract the best talent. So by not doing so for these companies, they're risking the ability to attract the best talent that's out there. And then, you know, by being able to have now this time series of this survey that goes out every year, the index performance that shows, you know, how these companies are doing, but really the data that we're able to collect from the community to learn more about the companies that they believe are supportive and the ones that aren't, you know, it gives, you know, very valuable information about what companies are doing wrong and, you know, what they could be doing better to be more supportive of this community, because they could spend $1 billion or more a year saying, you know, what they do. However, if it's not truly resonating with the community, it's not going to necessarily have the impact that they're hoping to get. So the hopes are that by being able to track this over time, hopefully that the scores and the rankings that we see from these companies will go up, because they want to be supportive, because they realize that, you know, this is an important community, not just because we need to single out and benefit this community over others, but that by benefiting all communities equally, that this is something that hopefully could be beneficial for companies for the long term and create a much more sustainable, happy work environment for these companies. So there's a lot of things that we certainly hope to see. And then ultimately, if these companies see that people are investing with this in mind and investing in LGBT and seeing that people actually care and they put their money where their mouth is and are investing in these companies that are supportive and aligned with this community, then maybe all these companies will try to make a bigger change because they're missing out on this opportunity to do the right thing in the first place. But maybe it's also going to hamper their own financials and their own well-being for a company if they aren't aligned with the community and are possibly even doing things that could harm or disadvantage the community.
No, absolutely. And as you mentioned, this is important to track the data, because if you don't measure it, you can't track it. And if you're not measuring or tracking, you can't improve. And so this is a better outcome for all. What are some areas, so ESG, environmental social governance, in your experience, what are some areas that you think companies are doing well within ESG to serve the LGBTQ plus community, particularly, I guess, in the area of S and G, because environment, I mean, we all benefit from that. And I know that's a tough question, but a lot of times people, the S issue is hard for people or harder for people to understand, or even the G.
So there are a lot that companies can do. And certainly larger companies have more resources, but by not providing equal opportunity for individuals based on gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity, it can create a very uncomfortable work environment. And it's not just in hiring people based on the merits of the quality of an employee that they are, but it even goes down to benefits. And some companies offer equal benefits to same-sex couples that want to have a children. And for other companies, it could be extremely expensive for a same-sex couple to have a child. And some companies are going above and beyond to make sure that same-sex couples and non-same-sex couples are able to afford and have those same opportunities. I've also heard the story countless times where transgender individuals have extreme difficulty getting the health services that they need. And that can, in some cases, be a life or death decision on how someone gets treatment. And some people are forced to have to go through back alley, to back alley medical practices just to get hormone treatment and medicine that they need that otherwise should just be supplied to them because it's something that this individual may need. So you look at what a company like Salesforce is doing in their own leadership. And how Mark Benioff has essentially helped create a children's hospital, having realized that some children from the LGBTQ plus community are underserved and misserved, and sometimes not even treated and sent to other places because they won't be treated at their hospitals. And so some comes from the leadership, some and an individual at top, some comes from the board, some comes from investors demanding this, and some come internally as well from employees saying, hey, we need to do better. Even if I'm not an individual in this community, my coworker over here is struggling because you're not treating them equally. And sometimes that really helps move the ball. And from this experience of creating this fund, I've heard many stories from individuals where, even in the financial service industry, where originally they've created LGBTQ plus groups that would meet in side rooms and off company property just to have meetings to discuss these areas that they're being disadvantaged in. And afraid to be in their own office and let people know that they are an LGBTQ plus individual. And they've felt more comfortable in recent years and have been able to even have these groups be celebrated within their offices and workplaces and to bring new membership in, and even more importantly, bring more awareness in. And that is how they've been able to affect change internally for some of these companies as well.
Now, that's truly amazing, because we all have the opportunity to affect change and make the world a better place. Even some of the language we use, instead of saying maternity leave or paternity leave, parental leave, right? The words we use, the language we use. So We definitely have enjoyed having you here. Where can people learn more about the strategy and more about the funds? And how can we follow you on social?
So people wanting to learn more about LGBT can go to our website, PALETFS, that's PALETFS.com, LGBTQ plus 100, to learn more about .com, to learn more about the index. You can certainly look up LGBTQ Loyalty Holdings, which is the company that we partnered with to launch this exciting product. Another great thing I think also to mention is, you know, how this fund and how this project has brought the LGBTQ plus community together. The board is, you know, an extremely diverse board over at LGBTQ Loyalty Holdings, and have champions of the community, including Barney Frank, who was a leader on the front lines in the political sphere, rallying for fair and equal treatment for the LGBTQ plus community. Billy Bean from Major League Baseball, who helped implement LGBTQ night across Major League Baseball. Every team now has a night at least to celebrate and welcome the community. And that's something that other sports leagues around the world have also taken notice of. And the major sports leagues across the United States have all followed suit, realizing the importance of embracing this community and showing that they care and that they're there for them. Martina Navratilova, the tennis great, one of the most successful athletes on our planet of all time, who's been a champion for the LGBTQ plus community as well, from her own touring the world and sharing her own experiences, as well as many other individuals that have brought some great change for this community. And they're not finished yet. They want to keep on making positive change. And that's what brought us all together to bring LGBT to market.
Awesome. And we are so glad to have you here so that we can celebrate everything that you're doing to elevate the community and, of course, celebrate LGBTQ plus History Month. So back to you, Hope.
Thank you so much, Rita. That was amazing. Andrew, what a great bunch of work you are doing there that is going to change the world for sure. In fact, I would love to make you a cover story, this interview you've done with amazing Rita on Being Candescent magazine, our health and wellness Meg, that just shares this important stuff. So I'll be in touch with you about that afterward. Rita, thank you so much for this and all of your wonderful interviews. Tell us about next week's guest.
So we have Joe Allen Nicholson with University Impact. We are going to continue with the theme of ESG and impact investing. And what University Impact is they work with university students who select a project, do due diligence on impact investing all across the globe. So you don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss any of Rita's shows. 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Facebook Live, Hope Cats Gives. And very soon, we're going to be streaming on all the other social media channels. So stay tuned for that. We'll see you next Friday. Thank you, Andrew. We'll be back in touch. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. Stay well.